Welcome to episode 9 of The Putting Couch, presented by the Seymour Putter Company's tour team. I am Jim. I'm here with Ted Galina. Today, Cody Hale, actually, I think he celebrated a huge win last night by drinking too many vodka shots. I'm just kidding, Cody. He's completely hoarse today, and so he can't join us. But I can't say how thrilled I am and how excited I am to have our good friend Stephen Tiley on today from the UK, coming off of a huge win yesterday on the European Challenge Tour. He's going to have to pronounce the name since I don't speak French, but so exciting. Wire-to-wire winner. Beat out a couple of regular European Tour winners in Gregory Havre and Richard Bland. Stephen, so happy to have you on the podcast today. Welcome.
Happy. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Welcome, Stephen.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.
And I don't think people, I'm just going to let people know right now that, I mean, you are one of us. I mean, you're like one of my kids. We've known you, Ted and I have known you as long as we've been with Seymour. You're the most Seymour guy we've ever known. And, you know, your career, I think, is going to be an inspiration to millions of golfers, because quite frankly, the millions of golfers that think they want to be professional golfers at the highest level. I mean, what you've done is pretty incredible, but it also shows just how many peaks and valleys there are, Stephen. And I know, you know, 10 years ago, you actually won a tour event, okay, which was, it's not an official Challenge Tour event because they had just designated it that year as a Challenge Tour event. So it was, I guess, going to become official the next year.
Yeah.
But that was in Egypt. And you beat Colin Montgomery and Rory McIlroy, among others. So to me, that was a real world win. And since that day, we've just, you know, we've talked every year. We've talked on a regular basis. We know how hard it is. But tell us, I mean, what's the journey been like? And tell us about the win yesterday.
Yeah, it's been a long journey. And I've pretty much used the Seymour putter for pretty much most of it, which has been good. A couple of guys, certainly in the last couple of weeks, have actually asked me, how long have you used that putter for? And I have to recall, like, how long it's been. 12 years I've been using that same putter.
Like, I saw the pictures. I saw the pictures, and I told somebody, I said, this is like one of the world's, it's like one of the world's great surgeons who can't give up the scalpel, because it probably needs a new paint job, but way to
it
go.
Does.
I mean,
it's 07. I can actually remember when I got the putter, but it was the putter was made in 07.
Yeah.
Which I found out, like, sort of earlier this year, that the numbers on the putter, and it was 07 at the end.
Yeah.
So that's been 12 years, and I pretty much have used it. I've used it ever since. So
we appreciate it. But man, we're just so excited for your story, Stephen. I know you and I talked this off season, and you were doing a self-assessment, and you said, you know, the game is hey, like many players that are known for their precision and for their short games, you said it was becoming tougher and tougher to find golf courses that suited you. But you said that you were going to just continue to put your focus on your strengths, and you had this amazing self-belief that you were going to win the way that you knew how to win, which was taking advantage of your skills in the short game and not worrying about trying to hit it 300 plus yards. So how did that come to fruition?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, like, we're all creatures of, like, sort of seeking perfection. Golfers always, you know, the trouble is with golf is that there's only one winner every week. You know, there's one guy that's going away from the tournament really happy, and all the other guys are going away sort of reasonably searching, you know, how do I win? How do I get better? And I just think every year, every golfer that plays the game at a really, really high level always are looking to things to improve at the end of the year. And sort of, it's very easy to focus on your weaknesses at the end of the year. What do I need to get better? What do I need to get onto the European Tour and win on the European Tour? And with me, it's always been sort of, you know, I need to hit it longer. I need to, you know, when I was on tour, we played some long golf courses, and it's, you know, and the rough was up. So if I missed the fairway, I was normally not being able to reach the green, or hitting a long iron into greens and not being able to stop it near flags. So I think every year I always battle with myself in terms of, you know, this off-season, I'm going to get longer, right? This is it. And then I think I do that for a couple of months and realise, actually, you know what? I'm missing fairways now. I'm not that much longer. It hasn't made much difference. And then I come across a few podcasts that I normally listen to, one of them being Zach Johnson with Ed Milet. And he talks a lot about sort of improving your strengths. And he's always talking about, you know, what do we need to get better? What can I do to get better in terms of my strengths and get my wedge play really good and just get my putting really good and just stuff that I can control. It's been a tough road. I think I finished yesterday. That was a course that suited me. It's quite tight. It's quite short. And I've been practicing my strengths leading up to it. And they were all sharp, ready to go. My putter was good. That was back. I've been struggling with that. And not terms of struggling, just not paying enough attention as what I should have been. I was paying attention to other parts of my game, trying to get them from a weakness up to being okay. And my strengths had just come off a little bit. So, and I hold out extremely well. And I managed to win wire to wire, which for my first win was incredible.
Incredible.
And thank you. And I got off and I was doing the interview and they said it was my 130th start. And I was like, you're joking. And they're like, no, you've played 130 times out here. And I'm thinking, oh my God, that is a long, long, that seems like a lot of tournaments, which it is. And it's been an incredible journey. Some weeks I've played well. Other weeks I've been soul searching and it's tough, you know. We're going to places like Kazakhstan and China, and you know, you missed a cut there, and you're just away from your family, and it's not all rainbows and that everyone sort of imagines it is. So, but for moments like this, where you're driving back from France and you've got the trophy strapped in the car next to you on the passenger seat, it's just makes it all worthwhile.
You know, it seems that way. It's like, you know, I think most people would be, you know, winning the lottery one time in their lifetime, I think would suffice. And Stephen, for somebody who's just got the perseverance, I mean, you want to be a professional golfer and you compete at it and you work at it like, you know, nobody else. And you're just a testament to what it takes. And I know you and I talk on a regular basis and it's just, it's incredible to watch this. And it's not that, as I look at your resume, it's not that it hasn't had successes, but as you said, time gets away. I mean, you know, the days of a guy coming out and winning five times in a major in his first 2 years, I mean, that's one in a million, right? That happens occasionally.
Yeah, very much so. And the more that you play, the more that I was thinking, I had very different emotions last week playing. And I thought, you know, at 36, nearly 37, is there many more times that you're going to get this opportunity where you've got like a 3-shot lead and, you know, you're around a golf course that suits your game and you're playing well and everything's going well. You know, sometimes you've just got to seize the moment. And fortunately, I was able to do that yesterday. So.
And that's an incredible thing right there. You mentioned wire to wire. And I think, you know, people that play the game, I mean, you came out and you blitzed the golf course on day one. And you slept on the lead 3 nights. And just knowing that everybody's coming after you, and that's really tough to do. I mean, players on the PGA Tour, you look at major championships, you look at PGA Tour, the closing rate is very, very low for players that start off hot. So tell us about how that happened. Tell us about the incredible round to start, and then sort of how your mindset changed each and every day.
I just come off like 3 missed cuts. So, I mean, it's just an incredible game in terms of, I mean, you're down in the dumps for 3 weeks. I missed the Open by 1 shot. I mean, you're thinking, you're driving up to the airport at 4 a.m. in the morning, hardly any sleep, trying to get a flight out to Slovakia at 6 o'clock in the morning. You just missed the Open by 1 shot and you're thinking, you know, Do I really need this anymore? You know, and then I went to La Voudre. I practiced on my strengths at the weekend, missed a cut at Slovakia, practiced on my strengths, got my TrackMan out, started doing my TrackMan test, got back on my chalk line, got back on you know, stuff like that, sorted out my driving, and went to Le Voudre, actually, changed my driver shaft to like a straighter hitter driver. I've been actually struggling with my driving in terms of accuracy this year, struggling with a lot of spin. I need quite a lot of spin with my driver, and I've changed to the new ball and just stuff like that, and it hasn't been quite clicking. But I changed my driver shaft, and that seemed to be going really well, and I was confident with that, and just turned up to the golf course where I finished second last year, so had some good memories, and just said, let's just go out there and play. Let's just go out there and just see what happens. Hit a few wedges closed, hold some good putts, and just sort of went out in 5 under, and just shot 7 under the first day and tied for the lead. And then went out the next day, and I was obviously, right, come on, let's not do anything stupid. Let's not, you know, let's not miss the weekend, and okay, let's go out there and build on that lead, which is tough to do. Tough to go out the next day after shooting a low score is always hard to follow it up, as all golfers know. Obviously, golf is just such a unique game where one day you could be 7 under and the next day you could quite easily be 7 over. Easy. Or 5 over, and there's no answer to it. It's, you know, it's one of those incredible mysteries. And I just went out there and played well the front nine. I think I shot 1 under the front nine. Easy sort of, you know, golf. Not, you know, I played the back nine, which is a harder nine of the two, and then I had the front nine, which was a few wedges, and I felt that I can score. I made a few bad swings on the front nine, a bit nervy trying to get in, and made some really, really good saves. Chipped in for par on one hole, and I actually thought, you know what, this could be your week. You get a certain number of signs, and you hear a number of golfers like feel it when they win tournaments, and they certain things go your way that normally don't, where you chip in or you get up and down for an unbelievable spot, or you see that, you know, you pull a putt and it lips in rather than lips out, and a couple of that was happening on that back nine on the Friday, and I posted the number, and then the next day woke up with the lead on the Saturday
and maintained it.
Very nervy day, very sort of, you know, let's keep this position, let's sort of keep our lead for tomorrow, which I managed to do. Nice birdie up the last to get a 3-shot lead, and then slept on the lead again. I mean, that is it's so hard to do. I mean, it was just incredibly draining, both mentally and sort of physically. I didn't sleep that well. You're not sleeping that well sleeping on the lead. You wake up with a sick stomach. You're not eating much during the day, and it's just, yeah, you just sort of get through it, really. So, yeah.
Stephen, this is Ted.
Hi, Ted.
On Saturday and Sunday, going into the round, in your mind, do you still keep the hammer down, or is it a little conservative? I mean, now that you've been in that situation and know that feeling, I know it'd probably be a little bit better the next time you get in that position. But what do you tell yourself? I mean, do I continue to fire at pins? You know, the guys behind you are probably doing the same way. So what was that feeling like to you?
It was a strange feeling, really. You're constantly telling yourself you've got to go out and hit golf shots. I mean, I was a 3-shot lead can absolutely go within a couple of holes, a couple of bad swings and it's gone. You know, a 7-shot lead, I think you're pretty much just hitting the middle of the green, 2-putting, and if you make a birdie, then that's great, and then you move on. I think a 3-shot lead, you still got to play golf. And the guys behind me, I knew they were going to play golf as well, and they were going to try their best. So it was half and half, really. It was not doing anything silly in terms of firing at pins with a 4-iron and short-siding yourself. But when the opportunity came and I had a wedge in my hand, I was still firing at pins and still trying to hold putts as well, and not just just two putt from 30 feet. And it was a strange, last year I was four behind and it was just push, push, push. And you've got no time to get nervous. You've got to be like, I've got to go and get this guy. And if you shoot 67, great. If you shoot 72, then there's nothing gained. So it's, you know, but I felt like I had not everything to lose, but I felt like I had a lead to lose. And it's very nerve-wracking playing that way. And you've got to control your emotions throughout the day, which sometimes I didn't and sometimes I did. So, yeah.
Tell us about those last few holes.
It was quite a tough stretch, actually. I think from 15, it's a tough hole. I think it's like 510-yard par four. So I hit a good drive down the middle, and then I was getting a bit nervous. I was in between clubs where four iron, I had to hit a little four iron or a hard five iron. I chose a little four iron, and I come out of it and hit it way right. I've had a right miss actually all year, and it came at this time. And I actually listened to a Jordan Spieth podcast earlier in the week, and he was talking about his Masters where he had that right miss, and I was thinking, you know, that's what I've got, let's not. And I thought about that for a split second, and then made bogey there, and that was a tough hole. But I actually said, that's, you know, if you're going to make bogey, that's going to be the one you are going to make bogey coming in. It was 15, was a tough hole. 16's a par three, an 8-iron, pin that was at the front, and I've absolutely flagged this thing. I'm eyeing it up from about 160 yards, and it's come up about 2 yards short in the front trap, gone in the front trap. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, you know, just don't be plugged in there. It wasn't plugged, splashed out, and hole from 5 feet. So that was a nervy putt.
Wow.
Coming back down the hill. I'd hold out all week. I think I missed six putts inside 10 feet all week. So I was holding out really well. So that was good. 17, I hit a good drive, and then in between clubs again. But this is where next time, under that experience, with the adrenaline flowing, I would have picked the lower club, and this time I actually picked the club that, the higher club, the longer club, and it pitched by the pin, hit a great shot right by the pin, about 3 feet away, one bounce and over the back, like sort of in the semi rough. Not a very nice lie, little sort of 5 yard chip down the hill. So I was thinking, oh, come on, just, you know, get this on the green somewhere inside 10 feet and we'll hold the putt and get out of here. Hit a decent chip to about 4 feet, and I had 4 feet down the hill, and it was pretty much straight, maybe inside left. And I was like, right, come on, just hit the tee peg. I putt to a tee peg when I'm putting, and I was like, just hit the tee peg, just saying that constantly over myself, just over the ball and stuff. And I've actually left this putt short from 4 feet. I was like, oh my God, how have I left that short? And I just said, you know what, just put it down to nerves. And that actually helped, actually refocus me onto the last hole. And I saw that Bland was at 10 under and I was at 11. So I had to par the last to win. So then that actually refocused my mind, missing that little putt. And I was like, right, you've actually got to play golf here. You can't just wing it down the last and make par or make bogey and, you know, and getting a playoff with it. You've got to play some golf. So I hit a really good drive down the last. And then it got to a point where I was constantly just talking to myself, picked out a target on the tee, and I was like, come on, hit the target. And sort of just kept on talking of everything that I wanted to do in terms of not wanting to do picking out targets. I laid up, hit a wedge to about, pitched about 9 feet away, and then spun back to 40 feet and had a 40 footer up the hill, two putts. And I hit this putt and I thought, oh my God, that's short. And I was like, go, go, go. And then it got up there to literally a foot away. And I marked it. Wow. And I was like, I think you're good from here. It was literally a foot away. So, and then I was just walking over to hit it in, and I just thought of when Tiger won the Masters earlier this year, and it looked like it was like 4 feet, and he literally walked up and just tapped it in. It looked like he was just like tapping it in on a friendly round with friends. And I was like, right, come on, this is like a foot away. You know, Tiger would just go out and tap that in, and the rest is history. So I just went up and tapped it in. So that was good.
Oh, that is just, that's awesome. It's making my stomach just get nervous just listening to it. I cannot imagine. Thank you for taking us through that. We're listening.
That's
all right. We're listening to Stephen Tiley, a great friend of Seymour. This is the Putting Couch presented by the Seymour Putter Company's tour team. Stephen Tiley won yesterday at the La Voudrais Challenge on the European Challenge Tour, and really fulfilled another one of your goals, one of your dreams. I know you've won before. Again, your background here, people are listening from around the world. You played English junior golf, and then you went to college in America, Georgia State. You played U.S. college golf there, and you've been on the European Tour, the Asian Tour, the Challenge Tour. You led the Open at St. Andrews after the first round in 2010. So, I mean, it's incredible to see where you've been. You've been a runner-up 4 times on the Challenge Tour before winning yesterday. And you've had a top 26 finish at the Open Championship in 2013 at Muirfield. So it's up and down. It's peaks and valleys. But it's just this amazing self-belief that you've had to stick with it and stay positive. And wow, I mean, to have to go through the mental pressure you went through, I feel like this is possibly going to unlock some of your great potential, Stephen. And I hope we see you win many more times, and you use this as a springboard. And
thank you.
You know, tell us a little bit about the Seymour Putter. I mean, you know, you've been so associated with us. I mean, it's sort of Payne Stewart, Zach Johnson, and Stephen Tiley around here, and we really appreciate that. Yeah. And you're in our wall of champions. And
thank you, thanks.
Love that. But yeah, tell us a little bit about your experience and with Pat O'Brien and with our team here. And you know, you're a guy that's very cerebral, and as you said, you you have to be better than everybody else when it comes to the short game.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I just picked up a Seymour. It was in a shop, a golf shop. In Surrey, and I was sort of picked it up, and I think with like every new putter, you hold the first couple of putts with it from 20 feet, like every new putter that you have. I'll take this, and off I went. And I think the first tournament, I think I hold a 40 footer on the last to win with a good friend of mine in a team competition, and from that day on, I just used it and haven't looked back. I just like every day. I think the main difference that I feel with Seymour, which is such a positive, is that every day I feel like I set up the same, and I aim the putter pretty much the same. I think a lot of times when if I've used a Newport style before I used Seymour. My forward press was very different each day, and I think that can have an impact on setup. And I just like the way that I put it down, and you know, if I hide the red dot, I know that the putter's set up square. So I just go with that and take that out of the equation. As long as I know that it's set up square, if I'm not starting online, then it's something to do with my path. And then it comes down to pace, really. If I'm not holding putts, then how's my pace? So there's only a couple of things to work on. Pretty much setup is taken care of with the unique rifle scope technology, which is great. And then that's it, really. So yeah, I've been using Cameron McCormack's, which is a golf stat lab, for the last couple of weeks. And that gives you strokes gained, sort of putting and stuff like that. And I just noticed that sort of inside 10 feet, my holing out wasn't as good as what it has been in the past. So I was working on that, went back to a chalk line and just focused on that this week. So that was it. Yeah. So
we'll keep doing that for now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if I don't putt well, I'm not going to be competing. It's as simple as that, you know, very much like, you know, like Zach Johnson. I listen to a lot of his stuff and pay a lot of attention to him and what he's doing. And he talks about in his podcast about the three things that he has to do well to compete: driving accuracy and his wedge game and his putting. And they're pretty much the same. And Zach's just a highly refined model of myself. And maybe he's, he's definitely really, really, like, really well mentally. He's mentally a lot better than I probably am. Competitive, and he probably believes in himself a little bit more, and that's why he's reached the heights that he has. And probably stuck to it a little bit more. To his game plan, where he's turned up to these courses on the PGA Tour, and a little bit more better at accepting, okay, maybe I'm not going to win this week, or, you know, chances are I'm struggling to beat Dustin and those guys and Brooks, but do you know what, I'm going to grind it out and get as high as I can, whereas myself has probably get down a little bit more if I've played those long courses and sort of tried to change the wheel, as it were.
Hey, I think this has just been the first chapter for you. As crazy as it's been, as long and arduous and up and down, you're 36 years young. You're continuing to learn new things about yourself. And I think, you know, there's an awful lot of golfers. I mean, really, you're right in the sweet spot, Stephen, as far as I believe. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, I guess, you know, what your goals are going to be moving forward from here. You know, I guess real short term, hey, big celebration, parade back home. You don't have to worry about family life or going and playing another event this week, right? Or am I wrong?
It's just been a short. I've just got the children behind me. So they've all come in.
There we go. I mean,
mum's coming back from work. So, sorry about that.
Not only do you have to be the best player in the world yesterday, or one of them, you have to come home. You have to drive back to the UK today and be a dad and a husband and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and then back up and head off again, huh?
Yeah, straight back on daddy daycare today. I was looking after my 4-year-old son, and you know, he doesn't care what I did yesterday. He's just worried about, you know, whether he's going to get a toy or whether he's going to get an ice cream. I mean, that's as much as it gets for him. So, what show he's watching on TV normally. So, going back to your question, celebration. Just, I'm going out for a dinner in a minute with the family. A low key, so like sort of family dinner, and then I'm straight back on a flight tomorrow, 8:00 in the morning. So, to Austria. So straight back playing, straight back on the chalk line. I think
that's awesome. Yeah. Hey, would you join us again sometime, Stephen? If we could do this again down the road, We so appreciate it. I hate to steal any time in this really special day for you. The winner of the 2019 La Voudrais Challenge Tour event, and a huge win. And for you personally, I know it's just, there's nothing like winning and holding that trophy. So we appreciate your time. Steven Tiley's been a great friend to Seymour, always will be. This is the Putting Couch, brought to you by the Seymour Putter Company's tour team, Jim, Ted, Cody, and today, Steven Tiley. Steven, go get him.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much. I'd just like to appreciate everything you've done for me and the support that you've given me. And I can't wait to come over back to Tennessee and visit the studio soon.
Hey, that's going to be awesome. Can't wait. All right. Yeah. Go have some fun tonight. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stephen. Congrats again.
Thanks.
Safe travels.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks very much. Bye.
Bye.
We appreciate you joining us. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do wherever you're listening. Be sure to leave a rating and review, because that's how we get the Putting Couch podcast content in front of more people. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media and tag us at Seymour Putters or hashtag Team Seymour.